and we're going to go into the next gifts, and that's going to be interesting. A lot of people, discerning of the spirits, that's the next one we're going to be in, so discerning of the spirits. How many need discernment?
Yeah. All right.
Everybody.
Everybody, that's right. So, you know, and remember, we talked about all these gifts, they're not just for select few, okay, the chosen. They're for everybody. Everybody that's a born-again, let me rephrase that, everybody that's a born-again believer. Because worldly people can't receive this. You look at your neighbor and say, you're special. There you go. There you go. Now look the other side and say, he's special. Because he's the only way we can receive him, okay? We're going to specify that this morning. But, so I'm going to skip a week before we go to sermon and spirit because I got a word from the Lord. How many's going through some tough times in their life right now? Okay. All right, well, I got over half the people, so I believe that's what the Lord's instructing me. But we'll talk to you next week about the, you're valuable to God. So it goes right along with what we're ministering here. Before we start, I want to pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I submit myself to you this morning, and Lord, I surrender my words to my mouth, my ears, my whole sense of being to you this morning, and I pray that somehow this could be enlightening words straight from your throne. I pray that, Lord, that you this morning would move me out of the way, and in spite of me, you would speak to everyone, even myself this morning, of what you'd have us to hear. Give us all ears to hear, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, how many remembers anything about last week where we got to in word of wisdom? Anybody, anything remember that stood out? How about, I know there's probably one thing that did that, I went over to Kings. Does anybody remember the story? I know there's several here. Say it out loud.
The baby that the king was
going to
cut in half.
The baby that the king was going to cut in half. Who was it?
Solomon.
That's right. That usually sticks out in people's mind. I don't know why, you know. Because Solomon chose these two prostitutes, really is what they were, harlots. And they both had a baby. One died because the one slept on it. It died in the night. So she switched, made a little old switcheroo there with the other one. So how did Solomon respond? Somebody? Get me a sword. We'll just cut it in half. Give it to both of them. Now that's pretty harsh, but yet, that's kind of what we're talking about in this stuff, word of wisdom, and we're going into word of knowledge. It comes to Solomon immediately what to do. How many need to know that sometimes we need to hear from God just like that?
Yeah.
Just like that. And so that's what word of knowledge is. It comes. It's from supernatural. And it comes. And right before that, we read where God had just blessed Solomon with what? Wisdom. He asked for it. God was tickled that he did. I'm using paraphrasing, but he did. He was glad he did. And so what did he do? He gave it to him. And so everybody knows the story of Solomon, right? Who was Solomon? Who did he turn out to be? He's known as the wisest king ever. Some people say the wisest man.
Yeah.
I don't know. Outside of Jesus, I might agree with that. Maybe. I don't know. But I didn't live there. I can't really say. But I know he has a lot of wisdom, but he also has a lot of problems, too.
Yeah.
In the Bible, if you really read about it. What was his number one problem? Oh, boy. We won't even go there. But, yeah, so get ready. So next week, we're going to talk about how the enemy attacks and those, you know, good people. Good people have it. You guys are good people, but the enemy's always attacking you. There's reasons. does anybody in here, I know there's some, we're on what we taught last week, different levels. Some people are just learning about their gifts. Some people already have some gifts and whatnot. But if we go back and we started, where did we start in this whole journey just in mastering spiritual gifts? Where do you have to start?
The Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, always. And we talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Different experience than baptizing water. Different experience than separate from being filled with the Spirit when you're saved. Okay, there's different. We talked about all these things, but leading up to it. But every one of these gifts comes from or through, channel through Holy Spirit. Okay, got always remember that. Last week we talked about how that, you know, anybody remember the difference? The two, back up. Some of the differences of what we get trapped in sometimes, the foolishness of, about wisdom. There was four types. We said natural wisdom. What is natural wisdom? The wisdom of our mind. Okay? Fallen wisdom. What was that?
What was that word?
Fallen.
Oh, that's not the worshiping thing.
Yes. Worshiping satanic stuff. It's fallen wisdom. It's influenced by demonic. It's the things that, and believe me, it's real. Wiccans, witches, witchcraft, all these things. Some of the things people go do, they don't even realize the doors that open there, and they're in a demonic realm of the fallen wisdom. You do not want to be getting advice from people like this. They could work beside you in the work front. They could be your best friend, some of them. You don't even know it sometimes, but they can be imparting wisdom that is nothing more than fallen wisdom, and it can be. And what does the enemy always come as?
An angel of light.
He is always going to be disguised
always,
like someone that you will love, trust, look good, whatever. He can sit beside you in church. Amen. I won't even go there. Spiritual wisdom was the third one. And we talked in the book of Proverbs there, and talked about Apostle Paul. And then there's word of wisdom. This is that sudden miraculous gifting which comes from the mind of God through the Holy Spirit to any yielding born-again believer. All right. And so then we got into the application of the word of wisdom. Now, we're going to be right here real. We're going to finish up with this. And we got into the example with Solomon. So now we're at the how the word of wisdom functions.
Wisdom or knowledge?
Yeah, you ain't got it up yet, do you? We're finishing up there. Because I like one page. I'm finishing that. It's on the other page. So the word of wisdom and how it functions, real quickly. Through the spiritual intuition, you can sense or hear with your spiritual ears the voice of the Spirit. Now, wait a minute. Pastor Ronnie, what is spiritual ears? Can anybody tell me what spiritual ears is? It'll be under sermons.
Is the Holy Spirit talking?
Say again?
Is the Holy Spirit talking to you? I
don't know. Well, very good. That's good. But we, being spiritual ears, is directing towards us, right? So we can develop an ear to hear. And you'll see that in some of those in the Bible. It talks about give us an ear to hear kind of thing. That's what it's talking about. Because it's real easy to hear a lot of voices in our head sometimes.
Well,
that's going to flow right along with the next stuff we learn. It's a discerning and learning. It's a learned thing. But That's a learned ear of hearing God, hearing the Spirit, okay? So it's a little different than what we're talking about today in the knowledge and the wisdom. So
can I share something on that?
You didn't find it? That's not it.
I'm trying to find the slide.
It's on under sermons, I'm saying. It's not under baptism of the Holy Spirit.
It's not under master spiritual.
No, gift. He put it in all kind of crazy places. So anyway, so we got to have a spiritual ear, the voice of the Spirit. You can suddenly sense God's will in a matter of known what to say in a particular situation. You can be in a situation where you just don't know what to do. Has anybody ever been there? Yes. Trill.
No, I was.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's amen. I got it. That's good. All right, so, for example, the Spirit warned Paul not to give Bethania but to go to Troas in Acts 16 and 8 there it's talking about. In this case, we need to tune our spiritual ears to the Holy Spirit, and that was Acts 16 and 8 if you want to look over there. So it's kind of like the Lord can warn you. He even told Paul, don't go there. And we'll see situations throughout the Bible where God leads and God directs, and sometimes He directs us around places that we in our life need to stay away from. So having spiritual ears to hear is really important. So now the Spirit can quicken a word from the Scripture. What do I mean by that? The quicken a word from the Scripture.
Make it just jump out of the
page. Aha! Cha-ching!
Yeah.
Right? Just all of a sudden you get a aha moment. Yeah, oh, it quickens that thing in your spirit. You ever feel like it just, ooh, it's like, that's for me right there. That's good. That means you're in tune. You're in tune with God. You're in tune with what God's trying to speak. Now, God can speak inaudible still. He hadn't changed just because He spoke to all the prophets, Elijah and Philip, Ananias. There's all throughout the Bible, God has not ceased to communicate, and He can communicate in all ways. He's still the same today as He was yesterday, and He will be forevermore. Anybody ever experienced God speaking to them audibly? Okay, very good. Very good. A couple? Yeah? Very good. How did that feel?
Scary.
Scary?
The first happened.
Okay.
My daughter wouldn't be here at last.
Very good. How did that feel, Sherry?
It feels good. I mean, it can be scary at times, but then you know that I feel like when I hear it, that I know that I guess I'm on the right track, and then I'm still falling, I'm learning.
Very good. Very good. And I know this is hitting home with you. You know, you've had to work at hearing and stuff. And so, yeah, being really sensitive to God in certain areas in our life. Why do we pick and choose, though, sometimes? Why do you think we pick and choose sometimes? Well, I like this gift right here. I'm going to go after this, or I'm going to do this. Yeah. Why do you think?
That's what we want.
Why don't we want it all? See, I don't know. I'm just one of them. I guess maybe I'm a little greedy or whatever, but I want it all. When I come to the Lord, I say, Lord, I want all of you. I mean, that's the way I was when I was in drugs, when I was out in the world. I'm all in. And so I don't understand. Sometimes I struggle with people who are just in and out. I'm all in. I've got to be all in. Now, I do know that the flesh is the flesh, and that's the reason that happens, and I do too. But yet, there's still a point in time where you choose who you're going to serve. Choose you this day whom you're going to serve. As for me and my house, I'm going to serve the Lord. You've got to get to that point that same way. So God can still speak, though, in an audible voice. Today, God has not ceased to communicate. God can use other spiritual leaders. Dreams, visions. Anybody ever had dreams or visions?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. How many's had some and they hadn't come true yet? Don't mean they're not going to. Okay. I was sharing this other day with a young man. He says, why don't prayers get answered sometimes? Well, how do you know they're not being answered? It's just, see, we look at it like right now, this time, this view. It says in Revelation, there's a part in there, it says that there's a bowl, and it's like a sweet aroma, kind of going up to God, constant, all the time. You know what that is? That's the prayers of the saints. That's the prayers of the saints. Your grandma, your daddy, your mothers, your whatever, the saints before you that prayed for, like me, prayed for you, all these things are still being answered. Right now, some of you need to grab hold of this, that maybe your son, your daughters, your grandkids, whatever, is not in God, in church. They're not in the place they want to be. Don't give up. Keep praying, because those things are constantly going up to God. Going up to God. Me and Penny was talking about this the other day. He works all things to the good. What? For those who are called according to what? Our purpose? No, His purpose. We got to get that in our mind. His purpose is what? That all men should come to the knowledge.
Yes.
This knowledge of what? Of Christ. And what He means. And eternal. And in kingdom. And purpose. Real purpose. Not just life today. Alright, so all that is good. So, dreams, visions, all these things. So we need to know that the wisdom is from God, and no matter what we do, our natural wisdom cannot duplicate it. One can have all the knowledge of the world, but wisdom is reserved for the humble and for those who acknowledge the fact that they need it. I like that. Humility is always the best road travel. And the fact, when you're dealing with God and if we humble ourselves, it says, if my people will what?
Humble
themselves and what?
Pray
and seek my face. Then what will He do? He will start the healing process for our lives, for our nation, for things to come. And so, but humility is a key when it comes to this. Three quick things. Pray for wisdom. James 1:5. Anyone know that one? If any of you lack wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. Now, listen to me. It's not how long you've been in the race. It's just that you're in it. Don't look at yourself, well, I ain't worthy. I'm really not good enough yet. That's the enemy. What does he say? Let me read it again. He should ask God, who gives generously to all, everyone, without finding fault. He don't look at you and say, well, no, Trelly, you're not ready yet. Here's still this going on. Zora, you're not ready yet. Maybe later. That's not God. That's not without God. Without fault, I mean, he says he gives generously. Those who seek it, who want it, who ask, just like Solomon. That's where his journey started. Ask for wisdom. 2 Chronicles 1:7-10. That night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, ask for whatever you want to give, for me to give you. What if you did that? How many feel unworthy to do that? Let's be honest. There's hands. That is a lie from the enemy. Tells you you're unworthy. You need to get a hold of that and say no in the name of Jesus. Anytime the enemy comes against you, you fight him with Jesus. You fight him with no, I recognize you. My spiritual ears tell me you're a liar. John 10:10, he's come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you can have life and have it more abundantly. That is the promise of Christ. And that is what he wants you to focus on, not, no, you're not worthy. His promises are yes and amen. Somebody get happy in here. Amen. Ask what you want me to give you. He said, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people for who I am able to govern this great people of yours. Now, what do you see right there in that statement? What Solomon come back with? Humbleness, right?
Humility.
He didn't ask for legions of men and palaces and other things. The two things he said, wisdom and knowledge, that I may lead this people. You see, there's a lot, I got to preach a little bit today. There's a lot of people out there who are being put in position that they're not ready to lead the body of Christ. They're not ready to lead ministries and be in ministries because they hadn't come to the humility like this. And they're being placed in places where they're set up to fail. And I'm going to tell you, it's a bad place. And the pastors, the ones, the elders, the ones that are their overseers are in danger. They need to hear me. If they listen to anybody hears this, they need to be ready in humility, bathed in the humility that they cannot do it alone, that it only comes through Christ who strengthens them. Preaching. Fear the Lord and you'll begin to experience true wisdom. Psalms 111:10. The fear of the Lord is beginning all wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belongs eternal praise. People don't understand that type of fear of the Lord. It's like a ooh-ah. Not like what you're talking about. That was just because of the unknown. Okay? But it's because the fear of the Lord is the reverence of God, the knowing God that, hey, yes, I fear him enough to know that I am not going to go there. Because I know what lies there for me. Danger. Fear of God that I'll how many love to disappoint somebody you love? You don't, do you? Could you call that fear that you'll disappoint? Absolutely. It's the same thing. So do you see that in people's lives? So the fear of the Lord is healthy. It's nothing to be an ooh-ah scared about, but it's a reverence. God's wisdom is out of this world. It's supernatural. 1 Corinthians 2:6. I'm going to skip through a couple going into gift. I've got a few minutes here. Blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding. Proverbs 3:13. Seek wisdom. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Do not forget my words or swear from them. Proverbs 4:5. Do not seek worldly wisdom, for it is foolishness. Now, to the world, that's a stupid statement. Right? Because you need wisdom. Right? If you need to understand things. But to the Christian, it's a different type of understanding. It's a wisdom from the creator of all the universe. It's not getting it from any kind of magazine or books or from other teachers or anything else. It's getting it straight from the throne room of God through the same knowledge and understanding. And it goes on in 1 Corinthians, Paul says in 1:19-20, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the I will frustrate. Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? When Paul starts making questions, he's making a point, right? Where are they? He's saying, how not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? Do not deceive yourselves. If any of you thinks he is wise by the standard of this age, he should become a fool. so that he may become wise. Now, what does that mean? He must become a fool that he must become wise.
Transformation.
Transformation. Okay. Anybody else? What do you think?
Fool to
this world, wise to the Lord, is to go against what conventional wisdom might say, and instead do what the Lord says. That's very good, and it's a perfect point. Both of them's good, right? It's understanding that you may have people even that love you,
yeah,
that mean well, but they're not the wisest person to get advice from. They're not the ones you need to seek out for counsel. They're not the ones you need to base your decisions around. There's a reason why God has ordained ministers. God has ordained the fivefold ministry. He's ordained elders, and things are the way they should be. And the thing is, those are the men and women of God that needs to be speaking in your life, our lives. We're in a world these days where it's all about self-gratification. It's about, well, I don't have to go to church. I don't have to have a pastor. And listen, somebody the other day was talking to me, and they said, so you're a pastor? I'm like, yeah. There was a guy with me, and he called me Ronnie. I was like, and later on, he said, well, I thought you was his pastor. I said, well, I am, but you know what? I don't require to be called that. I said, I believe when a person matures or when a person feels comfortable that you are their pastor, then they call you their pastor. I don't have to say that you got to call me pastor, okay?
You're not worried about your title.
I don't, that's right, exactly. It's not about a title for me. It's about whether you want me to lead you as your shepherd or not. And if you decide that, that's wonderful. If you want to call me Pastor Ronnie, Pastor Haynes, any of that stuff, that's wonderful. But I'm your friend, too. I'm your brother in Christ. So I don't have to have a requirement. We're not here at Ministry House to have positions or labels or any of that. We're here to minister to you, and you're to minister to us as much as we do you. Find your calling. Find your fulfillment in God's Word. That's all I'm going to say on that. Do not confuse the word of wisdom given supernaturally with spiritual wisdom, which can be gained through reading the Scriptures or listening to the wise. Now, what I mean by that, Got to ask that question. Let me say it again. Don't confuse the word of wisdom given supernaturally with spiritual wisdom, which can be gained through reading the Scriptures or listening to the wise. Remember we said there was four kinds. One of them was spiritual wisdom. That's how you get it. That's right. But word of wisdom is what?
Direct download from God.
Direct download from God. Yeah. Comes out of the knowledge we're talking about in a minute. Straight is supernaturally from God. It's nothing. We're out of the equation. Because when we get in the equation, guess what? Sometimes we get it wrong, don't we? We find ourselves making decisions based upon the flesh. Let's be honest, a lot of us. Sometimes more than one gift can operate in a given situation, so we should not limit God's Spirit in any way. Okay. Any questions about the word of wisdom? If not, we're going to move right on into a word of knowledge. I've got about 15 minutes, and it's some short stuff I've got here, but it's very important, and we'll try to get through it one time. You know, I'm going to have several pages and stuff. But for the one is given by the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:8. If you got your Bibles, you can look over there. And all these, you're going to see in Corinthians where we're at a lot in these gifts, okay, in 12 and 8. For one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, and the other the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So now we talked about the word of wisdom we pointed out wisdom was the proper application of knowledge. Wisdom is probably preferable than knowledge. Why do you think that? There's this quote I saw. It said, like someone said, when you ain't no when you ain't got no education, you just got to use your brain. You ever heard that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be a redneck saying right there. Come on, I'm picking on myself on some of that. We use your brain, but the fact is, you're gonna go through a lot of stuff trying to get to where you need to get to most of the time in that. Hard lessons learned, anybody besides me. You got to remember that. Now, wisdom is the proper application of knowledge. Knowledge in and of itself without wisdom can be extremely dangerous. Why do you think it can be dangerous without wisdom?
You're just in all kinds of trouble.
Yeah. 'Cause why? You can become a know-it-all, right? You think you can. You can, people, there's a lot of them out there, and they'll browbeat young, even wanting to be Christians to death. And so it says that's before the fall. That's a prideful thing. And that's the puffed up, as we know some of us, the scriptures are the puffed up knowledge. So I think this is being demonstrated to us more all the time as we see a lot of knowledge in the world today. They have the knowledge to create super weapons. Think about this, super weapons and the knowledge to do all kinds of things, but not much wisdom. Look over here at Korea and all that's going on in the news. Man, they got some super weapons. It's dangerous. There's some danger out there. Right? They don't have no wisdom. They don't know what they're going to do with them. I think maybe he knows what he wants to do with them. But they don't know what to do with them, and neither does all the rest of the people, presidents and all of them. They don't know what to do. And unfortunately, they don't have that wisdom to do what these weapons were created for. But then the word of wisdom, and there's a word of knowledge. I believe that the word of knowledge is knowledge that is given to us supernaturally, like we talked about, also a knowledge of things that you would not know through a natural study or whatever. But the word of knowledge or this gift is not a, here's something now important you got to remember, it's not a reservoir or something you can store up of knowledge that you can just tap into any time you desire it. It's not like that. It's a gift. It's a gift of God. And He's the one that gives it and gives it freely when He wants to. It often comes as an unexpected time or many times without you even realizing that what you're saying is indeed a word of knowledge of God. You ever experienced that, anybody? Why do you think that? I was thinking about this when I was reading and studying this. Why do you think God does it that way? If we just had it on reserve all the time, guess what would happen?
It works so hard, we'd get closer to it.
Okay.
And God wouldn't be able to prove Himself through our, not what we do, but what He does through us. Because sometimes I will be really, tired or there'll be things hurting, but I will have such love for someone else that I can minister to, and it's not through me. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Very good. Very good. Anybody else?
That we would value Him less. Start putting things more important
on them. Exactly. It wouldn't be a supernatural gift from on high, man. It would be stored up. It would be something we, what we'd say. We would get prideful, puffed up. Now listen, I know you say, well, no, I don't think I would or whatever. Trust me. Look at people, for instance, an example, who never have money. Okay, we'll use pick on money. And then all of a sudden, what do? They win the lottery. What usually happens to those people?
They
they end up at the exact same financial place they were
beforehand. Worse, actually. Mm-hmm. What? I mean, the percentages, if you really did a, it's way up there. I saw a thing years ago about this, and people, and they wore their own cloud nine. They got everything to go out and buy the four-wheeler truck, boat, house.
Within 3 to 5 years, or worse off.
3 to 5 years. So what happens?
They don't think they need God.
Their reliance upon God goes out the window. I even saw it talking about Christians. There were some of them Christians that won. And then what happened? They fell out of church. Their marriage was destroyed. Everything, they ended up with nothing. Broke, disgusted, divorced. So you see, the love of money is the root of all evil. It's about loving God. It's about trusting God. And so this is what I'm talking about. Now, quick example, Peter, Matthew 16, 13 through 17. Anybody know this story, right? I'm throwing, this is off a different page, Penny, as you know. But, so, 16, now this is the words of Christ. He said, whom do you say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say they're John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and others of the prophets. He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said to him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven.
Amen.
That is the example of word of knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, do you think Peter just got a buzz in his spirit or something, just or whatever, that, you know, that it just like that? I don't believe he did, that he was the Messiah, the Son of God. He'd been walking with him all for all the way from being a fisherman. But when God, Jesus challenged him, he knew what was about to happen.
He knew.
And so, and I don't even think even Peter was aware of this at the time. I really don't. I don't think that he was in that. I mean, he said, well, you're the Messiah. It was almost like, cha-ching. Well, you're the Messiah kind of thing. And the Son of the living God. But Jesus acknowledges, this did not come to you from flesh and blood, but by the revelation of the Father. But it come from on high. It's supernatural revelation from God. Now, as we go on through these gifts, you're going to start seeing things and patterns and things that how all these gifts work together. So the reason I'm taking time to let you understand them is people don't really understand them. How they believe, well, that's prophecy. This is this and this is that. No, there's a difference in word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, all these things, discernment, all these things. So is this helping anybody? I hope it is. So we need to see that the word of knowledge is a gift from above, supernatural knowledge, not learned or panned by the world. Some quick examples, and we'll close here in a minute, of word of knowledge. And y'all can write these down. I'm not going to read every scripture for lack of time. All right, Matthew 9, 1 and 4. This is where Jesus knew the scribes and their heart. You know that story? What he said their hearts was. That's the ones there. Jesus 9, 1 and 4. You want to turn over there? So you know you're... Instead of what turn around, but we'll start off with 1. How about that? And if you don't know these, write it down like I said and go back and look them up where you'll know. But 9, 1 and 4. This is right after he cast out a bunch of demons. His disciples were tested, and then he has this paralytic. He said, and getting in the boat, he was going, he was getting away from all that. He'd been casting out demons. He was ready to get away, okay? So he got in the boat, he said, and crossed over and came this, onto the city, and behold, there was bringing to him a paralytic lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the paralytic, "Take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to them, "This fellow blasphemes." And Jesus, listen to this, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why are you thinking evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk?'" Notice this, we get this story mixed up. At first he didn't say rise and walk. What was the first thing he did? Because see, right there is the key to everything. You've got to get in right relationship with God before anything can happen in your life. Come on, I feel a ghost. All right, the thing is, if you ain't repented of your sins, you are separated from God.
That's right.
He wants to help you. He wants to give you the gifts. He wants to give you an abundant life. But your sin is your barrier to keep you from your blessings, from your relationship with God. So notice that in this. He could have just said, "Well, rise up and walk. Get on out of here." Huh? Whatever. But he didn't. And he knew their thoughts, their heart. It says he knew their heart. What's in their hearts? Evil. What's in our hearts? Evil. Let's be real. Paul said it. Heart of man is wicked. Until we're transformed, until we have a renewed mind, until we get in right relationship with God, we're going to walk on in the evil side of it more than we are on the spiritual revelations and understandings of any of the gifts of God. They're not going to function in your life if you're in the wrong relationship with God. That's why, another reason, if you walked in this anointing all the time, your head would blow up so big you couldn't even make it get through that door out there. Let's be real. "Be in order," he said, "that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." That he said to this paralytic, "Rise and take up your bed and go home." And guess what he did? He rose up and went home. He didn't even have to repent. If Jesus said it, it's done. He knew that guy's heart that he said it to. Oh, I could preach on that for a long time, but I better go on. I got 2 minutes. So there's a... all these other scriptures, Matthew 26, these are some good ones here.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I know this one's not up there, but Matthew 7:15 is really good too, because he was kind of preaching on that one about, you know, people being your best friend, but, you know, they can come and stop profits, you know, cheap clothing, you know. I mean, that's a good one too, because I experienced that one in the past,
mm-hmm.
years ago, you know, so...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right, Sherry, for sure. Yeah, and we're going to, next chapter, we're going to get into that, discerning of spirits. So, and then Jesus knew that Peter was denying him in Matthew 26:34. Jesus knew about the husband and the Samaritan woman at the well.
Mm-hmm.
The lady, y'all know that story where, yeah, he says, "Nah, you know, you said rightfully," he said, "you don't just have one, you have five." So, you know, Jesus knew the death of Lazarus ahead of time. And so Paul was able to receive the revelations from the gifts in Galatians. So how the gifts operate? Jesus was able to operate in the word of knowledge because he walked in the Spirit and faith, and in constant communion with the Father. John 5, look that up. John 5, he walked, he even knew before the garden, what did he tell him to go tell Peter, the guy, what's his name, go tell him to pray. He knew, before the garden. He knew these things, but they come to him just like you and I. Even though he was deity, even though he was the Son of the Almighty God, the same Father, Son, Holy Spirit, he had the, but yet he still walked as man, Son of Man, but he still walked in flesh and blood. So they come up, and he got those same, Penny brought up the point about drawing in the mud and stuff. Right at that point, maybe he got that knowledge right there. And he sat down and he started writing in the mud. And one by one, they left. He that cast the first stone, or he that without sin cast the first stone, and he's writing down their names. And probably...
who they've been with.
Probably their sin. Oh, yeah. Fornicate, sexual immorality, lying, cheating, stealing. But he was getting a word supernaturally from on high. So see, even though he was God in the flesh, he still was fulfilling everything in the flesh. That's good stuff. Benefits of the word of knowledge, and I'll close. It builds faith in the person being ministered to. It reveals the area that the Holy Spirit is dealing with. It's direct, to the point, shows seriousness of the matter. It also shows that God is concerned with the situation in your life. It opens the door for repentance, forgiveness, and commitments. It gives a warning of future direction. Now note, this is a note, and we'll close. In his letter in Romans, Paul said, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts to make you strong, in Romans 1:1. Sometimes this gift can be received by impartation. You see, the laying on of hands, the transform from one faith into your faith, into another. That's also in there. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, sovereignty, as he determined in 1 Corinthians 12:11, that's what he's talking about. I love this scripture here. It says, but as we encourage to ask the Father for all good gifts, it says, if you then thought you were evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? What do you think that means? Why do you have to put evil in there? Because that's the intent of our heart. You're going to give your kids what the kids need, what they want, right, and everything else. You're not going to want your kids to go without, are you? Then how much more, is he saying, will your Father in heaven give you? We got to move past our own beliefs, our own things that we're hearing from other people who are not spiritually wise, who are not the ones that need to be speaking their life, into a place of faith and trust in God, that he wants you to have everything, the desires of your heart, it says in the Bible. Amen. There is a couple quick cautions. If the knowledge is contrary to bringing distortion to the written word of God, then it must be rejected. It must be. If it's contrary to this word, if somebody's giving you something, you reject it. If it's not lining up with the word of God. Okay? That's a caution. Wisdom or caution should be used when dealing with sensitive issues. Okay? Now, for example, don't pour out the secret things of a person being ministered to publicly. You can talk to the individual separately. Love and respect. You take them aside. You don't pour it out. And God told me, Bug, you're living in sin. Say it in front of everybody. You're destroying the work that God's really giving you an opportunity here. So avoid judgmental attitudes or harsh spirits. Keep in mind there are humans. Sometimes you can miss it. I've missed it. I've missed God before. Let's be honest. You miss it. But if you don't never start and believe and start to practice the gifts, then you never will have them. My grandmother baptized in the Holy Spirit at a camp meeting. She was a good old Baptist, and she got the gift, but she never practiced it. Because of the denomination she was in, they didn't believe. They didn't practice. So guess what? She didn't walk in that gift. Even though she believed it, she knows she prayed in tongues before, there's things that happened, but yet she did not practice it. So we can lose it, the gifts, if we don't really act and use them. All right, so don't use the gift to minister condemnation, guilt, but love, forgiveness, and life. And there's more, but I'm going to close there. Again, discerning of the spirits will be our next. Anybody got any questions or anything about these two gifts we've been on the last couple weeks?
Ronnie, would you share about the, remember at World Harvest, John Gorsica? What happened?
Yeah, we'll be a little over, but yeah, I actually had experience this week I didn't get to share you about. But yeah, I've had it happen to me several times. I believe I walk in this gift of, and there is sometimes that God releases me to speak into people's life or use the gift. Now, I was the first one. You never forget the first one for sure. But yeah, we were at an altar, and I was the altar pastor there over in a big church. There was, I don't know, 40, 50 people at the altar that morning, and I walked around like I did. We had a team that prayed, and prayer team, and they were praying, and I kind of oversaw as the pastor there. And so the Lord just stopped me in my tracks, and there was a guy standing there, and it was almost like, look. And I looked at him, and God says, his name is John. And I was still young in the Lord, but I had not functioned in this gift yet. And God says, okay, what are you going to do about it? I'm like, okay. I walked up to him, and I had learned this thing about, well, you can't miss it. So I said, now, this may sound crazy. I walked up this guy because he's just standing there. Everybody else at the altar, and he's just standing there. I said, this may sound crazy, and I may be wrong, but is your name John? And he said, yes, it is. I'm like, whew. Wow. And so that was my first.
Can I tell the rest and, of it?
Yeah.
He went beyond that.
Oh, yeah.
And God gave him I remember just like, and he says, yeah, my name is John. He goes, you're Catholic, aren't you? And he says, yes. He says, you're here because you want to know if the Holy Spirit is real or not. And he said, yes.
How did you know that?
And Ronnie said, well, God says, receive. And he just touched him.
Bam!
And his entire family was saved.
Yes, that's right. So see, that's to the glory of God. And that's the way it works, guys, girls. That's how it works. It's not nothing.
If Ronnie had not taken the first step
of faith,
he said, your name John,
yes,
he wouldn't have the faith to continue to believe the other things God has downloaded.
Very good. And so don't be afraid. I missed it. I missed before. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Well, maybe I ought to just pray for you. You know, so it's okay. You know, but you learn how to function and move in these gifts and use them. And when you do, it's awesome. It's wonderful. It's part of growing up in Christ. Real quickly, this Thursday night, I was supposed to, a mother wanted me to visit a young man in jail, and she had told me he was in NPOD. Okay, well, I got put in NPOD. It's like, okay, this is the Lord. Because I move around to all the pods. And so I said, well, I'll get to see this guy. I told the other chaplain, I'm going to ask the officer if he's here and whatnot. And he was a new officer. I went over and he said, okay, and he got his list out, and he went down it, down it, down it, down it, and turned the page, because, man, that place was full, and down there. And he said, no. I said, are you sure? And he looked, and he said, well, I'll look again. And he went down, da-da-da-da, saying his name out. No, no, he's not here. I said, wow, okay. Well, his mom said she'd come see him. Maybe he's an in-pod, and maybe they moved him. He said, yeah, they move him around all the time. And I said, yeah, I know that. So we went off into have church in the room, and there was several men in there, and a few of them come in after we was done started. And I don't personally meet everyone when they come in and got time, but I didn't personally get up and cause, you know, distraction to say, hey, I'm Ronnie and whatnot. But so they sat down, and we were at the end of the message, and I was just, the other chaplain had a great word, and he was ministering. And God started speaking into my heart, and I was like, I don't understand why I can't find this young man tonight, Austin is his name. And God says, well, look up. And there was a boy, and he was asleep. He was sitting over there, and he was asleep. And I was like, okay, well, okay, what do you want me to do? Wake him up, Lord, you know? And I've seen him a couple of times. He was just, you know, out of it over there. And so we got up and they say the prayer to leave, and God says, he is Austin. I looked at him, and it was my time to speak in closing, and I remembered his mom said he had something going on, an infection in his eye, and his eye was watering. Right after I saw it, he opened it, he looked at me, and his eye was red like he had pink eye. I said, you're Austin. He went. So see, yeah, I knew a little bit of that, but yet God used that. And he can use it to build you up as much as he can them sometimes. So let me just encourage you. There's a reason we're doing this. There's a reason why God wants you to have gifts. He wants you to have them freely so that you can be a blessing in your life and the kingdom. Okay? Any more questions? We'll pray and get out of here. I'm sorry I'm a few minutes over, but who don't like a good story that God's,
amen,
that God's doing, right?
That doesn't encourage you nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I could go on and on, but God is so good. I'd like to pray for anybody that needs prayer. We're going to pray over our offering I may have Bud, you mind on you pray for our offering? Whatever. We haven't been passing the plate, but I want to be honest with you, and I always said we would. I don't look at the monies or any of that. Let me back up real quick, because I got concerned. There's been some people saying some things about a few things. They're concerned about the church and all that. Don't be concerned about this church. God opened this church. We're not going to close it. Okay? I don't know if anybody said anything to you because we're doing the Good Shepherd Recovery House or anything. This church isn't going anywhere unless God wants it to go somewhere. Either way. And this is y'all's church, okay? It's not our church. It's God's and it's y'all's. A place to worship, a place to seek God, and you know, so I want to encourage you, you know, just because I'm dealing with that, I'm not gone anywhere. I'm not going anywhere, and so I just wanted to clarify that, so get it out there that, so if anybody's saying anything, just put that to sleep, alright, but I will say, oh, that, you know, with people being out and everything, I don't know about monies and stuff, but Penny said we have had some down months, we'll just say that. And so, you know, catching up your tithes, your offering, that's up to you. It's your heart. It's your thing. But that would be encouraged. But next week I'm going to have a list of places to get involved. Some things we need.
Yes. Nice.
Desperately.
Very nice.
You know, y'all hear me say God speaks to me on the lawnmower a lot. Well, the devil was speaking to me on the lawnmower. just a couple of days ago because I got frustrated. I hit a rock, the thing tore up three times, I need to be in five places at once, and I'm stretched, but it doesn't mean I am going anywhere, and the devil's a liar, he's not going to win. I'm committed to you guys, to pastor and to minister in this church. That is secondary. This okay, even though I love what we're doing up there, but I want you to know that. I want you to feel comfortable. But I also want to challenge you to get involved. Do some weed eating, do some cleaning, anything to what we can, you know, will help us. So we're ministry. We need children's ministers. We need people in the music. Penny gets burnt out, you know, whatever. You're going to find your gifts, so this is a time to start praying about how you fit, right? Is that okay? Y'all still love me?
Water's falling off the back of the house.
Oh, yeah. Water going underneath.
So, can we just
everything.
Coordinate with Ron.
Yeah, I would love to have a maintenance guy over here that directs and does the things. I'd love to have a kitchen mom that did everything. I don't have to run over here and make coffee and go back and get my sermons. I mean, just foods and all. So there's just opportunities everywhere for everybody to fit in.
Can we get mulch out there?
Well, there's all sorts, but he'll have to next week.
Pray about it. And, you know,
and tell him what you want to say.
Something that I just told Debbie about this earlier, something's been on my heart all week, and it's I want to serve and not be served.
Good.
Very
that's good.
Good.
That's very good. Well, God wants you to be served too, but that's a great place to start, and appreciate it. You know, this morning I was praying about whether to say anything, or not, and the Lord reminded me that even when I got in all my blunders and where God got me and delivered me from the drugs and all, I wasn't going to jail. At that moment, you know, a lot of people get jailhouse religion or whatever we call it, and they get in a fix or they're going to jail or whatever. I wasn't going there, but the fear of the Lord fell on me, and I said, I am going there if I keep going where I'm going. So you have to make a choice to say, here's where I draw the line. Here's where I choose this way. So I want to leave that for. But all right, let's pray. And Bud, would you pray over our everybody's gifts of offering, and I appreciate it.
Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, we approach the throne of grace. Mm. God, you said we could, and we come boldly before you, God.
Yes,
and God, I believe your word to be true. You said if we give, it'll be given unto us, pressed down, shaken, gathered, running over.
Yeah.
God, men would give unto our bosom. Mm. God, right now this ministry house is giving and giving and giving. So God, I pray that you open the windows of heaven, God, that you bless what comes in and bless what goes out, God, and multiply it a million times in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, Father, bless these men and women this week in their traveling mercies. Bless them, Lord, as they seek you, as they find, as they knock on your hearts. God, you open the door. God, bless them in every endeavor, their jobs, their homes, their finances, all these things. But Lord, most of all, their relationship with you, may it grow. May the word not choke the life out of what you've started here. You're going to complete what they've started. And even for those who are not here today, we pray for them and lift them up, and we believe that they'll be back in the house of the Lord. And God, you'll even instruct each one here to encourage those who are out to come next week to be a part of what you're about to do here at Ministry House. Nothing that we can do, but you be all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Y'all enjoy your day of rest today, and we'll talk to you soon.
Oh, he's still in there?